let the familiarity. I'm thankful we can come together. We can pray midweek. And we only spend an hour here. You realize that? We come to church. I mean, I know we get ready and we come to church. But, you know, for the most part, we come. We have service for just an hour. But I'm thankful that the Lord lets us come for just 1 hour in the middle of the week, get away from everything and pray together. And that's what Wednesday night has been. It's prayer meeting, Wednesday night prayer meeting. I know we preach and, you know, all those things too, but really it's prayer meeting, and God's house is a house of prayer. And I believe with all my heart that anything that'll be done spiritually in America and in our hearts and our church, it's going to be done through prayer. It's going to be through done. I mean, I understand preaching, God's chosen preaching to save those that believe and all those things, but preaching is not going to get the job done if we're not praying. And all those things, all the things that we do, if we're not bathing what we're doing, bathing our life in prayer and praying, calling on God, it's just, I believe it'll be for naught. I really do. And so I just want to say I'm thankful we can come together, we can pray in midweek. I know it's always just a handful of us here, and some folks are working, things like that. I think people got things going on in the middle of the week, can't always come, and I understand that. But we're one of the few churches that are even doing this anymore. And I'm thankful we are. I really am. I'm thankful we're coming and we're praying together, spending a little time together. Again, it's just an hour. But boy, I thank God he lets us have it. Amen. It's a blessing. So, Ephesians chapter 4 tonight. Ephesians chapter 4. And just going to read one verse tonight. Verse number 28. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And so we've been preaching through these last verses of Ephesians 4, looking at the specific examples of how to walk different from other Gentiles, is what he said here, or the rest of the world. In other words, don't be like everybody else. Be different. Amen. Given the specific examples, first one he gives is in verse number 25, putting away lying and dealing with honesty. And then verse 26 and 27 deals with our anger. Dealt with that Sunday night. Preached that last night in the jail. Just have that on my heart to preach that message again last night at the jail, and felt it'd be a blessing. So dealing with our anger, not giving place to the devil through our anger. And then in verse number 28, he gives the command concerning stealing and concerning being a thief. Now it's interesting that the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, seems like it's kind of bizarre that he would have to deal with stealing to God's people. Isn't it? But he does. And I would not say that it would be one of the major sins of our day in terms of stealing, like what people think of stealing, robbing banks and stealing cars and all those things. But if we're not careful, we all can be a thief. If we're not careful. And let me just say this too. In the Western world, in America, where Christian values have affected our society and affected our thought in our society more than anywhere else in the world. Obviously, we're seeing that quickly going away nowadays. But through the years in America, I mean, in a Christian nation, one nation under God, the Bible has certainly affected our thought and way of thinking, our society, more than anywhere else in the world. And so things like private property and theft has not been as big an issue in America as what it has been around the world. They say years ago, I mean, everybody left their doors unlocked, right? They left the doors unlocked. They left the key in the car, because if you took the key out of the car, you might lose it, right? Well, you sure wouldn't do that today. Most people wouldn't. And so it's gotten worse and worse, but it's not been that way around the world. Other cultures and other countries, stealing and theft is like a way of life. Over in China, missionaries and people that have been over in China, if you lived in China and you drove around on a moped, whenever you got home that night on your little moped or your scooter or your motorcycle or whatever, you'd be taking that dude into the elevator with you Like somehow getting that thing in the elevator and taking it up into the apartment you lived in and walking that thing down the hallways and getting that thing into your apartment. Because if you left it outside, it probably is not going to be there the next morning whenever you go out. I mean, that's just the way it is in other cultures. And I mean, you talk to missionaries. I've talked to missionaries from Brazil and Papua New Guinea. I mean, different. I mean, all over. And theft and stealing is just, I mean, it's a way of life. It is. And it's getting that way here in America now. Certainly in certain places that you go. And so, but for us tonight, he gives this command, let him that stole steal no more. And I think this may be a little closer to home than what we realize, because we may not be robbing banks and things like that, but it's still something we have to guard against. And so in Exodus 20, he gives the Ten Commandments. And one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not steal. Amen? And you know, I was thinking, nobody likes a thief. Nobody likes a thief, someone that is stealing and taking things that are not theirs. I would rather somebody walk up and just slap me in the face than rob me blind. You know, just like do it right to my face instead of wait till I'm not looking and take something of mine. I just can't stand that. It just grinds my nerves, you know, to think about somebody being so deceitful and sneaky to go in where I'm not looking and take something of mine. I mean, just like walk up and be a man about it, you know, just knock me out and then take it, you know, don't wait till I'm not looking. And so nobody likes a thief. And, you know, Jesus, he spoke of a thief. He said in John 10 that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Of course, talking about Satan, talking about the devil. He is a thief. And I would say that we are never more like him than whenever we are robbing and thieving and taking things that are not ours. Cheating and stealing and things like that. Because that is the way that the Lord described Satan, as a thief coming to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so I thought about, as I was reading through this and kind of meditating on this passage, about different kinds of thieves. You know, there's shop thieves. You see a lot of those around Christmas time, right? People shoplifting and putting things in their bag that they haven't paid for. And we see a lot of that, especially around the holidays that we've just come through and things like that. And then you have like the back alley thieves, where the person that waits in the back alley for you to walk by to rob you at gunpoint, you know, or whatever, and take, you know, your wallet or whatever. And then you got car thieves, people who will steal a car, or somebody who will steal something out of your car. Here just not long ago, I think it was Brother Ryan told me, he said, just a heads up, they've been having a lot of cars broke into in that area where you are living at. And sure enough, it was going around like social, like Facebook and stuff, where several people on those streets around where we live, this has been several months ago now, this is last year, into last year, and my truck had been parked on the street. And that night, I went home, when Brother Ryan told me that when we were at church, I went home just to check my truck, and sure enough, I went out there, and the center console of my truck was open, and my glove box was open. Nothing was taken, because I don't have anything valuable enough to take, but somebody evidently had looked in there to try to find, and that was a lot of people's, that happened to a lot of people, apparently. People were going through there late at night, looking in cars, trying to find stuff to steal, and so that person's a thief, right? Then you've got highway thieves, the person that wakes on the highway for travelers to come by and to rob them. I think about that man of the story that Christ told that came up from Jericho, and the highway thieves waited for him and robbed him, beat him up and robbed him, right? And then what we see a lot of today, especially recently, political thieves. We see where they come in and they cheat and they steal and they lie and they connive and they deceive. And what they are is they're deceitful. They're thieves. Think about like lawyers and attorneys. A lot of those guys are crooked thieves. They're crooks. Yeah, you can always tell whenever you're about to come into a major city, because you start seeing those billboards of that guy grinning like a possum, and the sign says, "Have you been injured?" Do those signs of those guys, those big shot attorneys or whatever, those injury lawyers, do they not all look so sleazy to you? They all look so sleazy to me. And the fact is, a lot of them, they are. They're thieves. Everybody is looking to get something for nothing. Sue their employer, sue somebody, get something for nothing. And so political thieves, then work thieves. The one who goes in and cheats the time clock, won't put in a full day's work, clock in and then constantly watch the clock and constantly do everything they can to get out of work. Isn't it amazing? Some people almost put more work into getting out of work than what they would just giving an honest day's labor. I mean, they watch the clock constantly and they're watching the boss constantly and constantly, you know, trying to appear busy and constantly trying to come up with some way to get out of doing their job. When it's like, man, it would be easier. The time would go by faster and you'd get your day of work over quicker and easier if you just get to work. Just get to work. But what they are is they are a thief. They are stealing from the company, stealing from the employer. And then not only that time thief, but then you got the person that takes things from the company. I think some people get the idea that the place that they work for, well, it's so big and they've got so much of any given thing that it doesn't matter if I just take it. Well, it doesn't matter how much they have or how little they have. If you take it, you're a thief. A thief. And then there's home thieves. That's the person that would go in and steal someone's spouse and destroy a home. That person is a thief. Then there's school thieves. We've got some that are in school here. If you steal answers or cheat on a test, you know what you are? You're a thief. It's a thief. Stealing answers or cheating on homework, that makes you a thief. And then there's church thieves, people who come in and wreck churches and steal the Spirit of God and steal the unity and all those things in a church. And then there's God thieves. You know, not giving a tithe, not giving your tithe makes you a thief. A God robber. Not giving what God puts on your heart to give makes you a thief. He didn't say you robbed God in tithes, but in tithes and offerings. We rob God whenever we don't tithe. You don't have to pray about tithing. We all know that, right? We don't have to pray about that. But then there's also that time where the Holy Spirit deals with our heart about something else to give. Whether to be a blessing to somebody or whether just to give to the work of God to be a blessing. God deals with our heart about giving something, and whenever we don't give it, that we're stealing. It makes us a thief. Stealing. And then, not only that, but not just in our finances, but then to not give your all makes you a thief. Not give all of yourself, I mean, not just finances, but of our life. He said in 1 Corinthians 6:20, ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. We are not our own anymore. So to not give all of ourselves whenever God owns us, He's bought and paid for us, we're in fact stealing from God. Amen. And so, I don't know if you realize this, but to break really any of the Ten Commandments would make us a thief. Did you realize that? To put another God before God robs Him of His glory and of His honor and His worship that He really is worthy of. To commit adultery is to steal the spouse of another individual. Thou shalt not steal. To steal is to steal, but then to murder, thou shalt not kill. To kill someone, murder somebody, is to steal their life. So to commit any of the Ten Commandments practically makes us a thief. Makes us a thief. And so I want to give you four things real quick on how to not be a thief or how to not even raise a thief. This thing needs to be preached to like our whole generation. Because really a lot of this stuff starts in the home. Starts at home and starts with our children, teaching them right, teaching them how to be honest. You know, children are not naturally honest. They're not naturally honest. Children are not naturally willing and ready to go give in an honest day's labor. They don't come out of the womb ready to work and be honest, all those things. No, they come out, the Bible says they come forth speaking lies. In other words, doing whatever they got to do and saying whatever they got to say to get what they want. And they have to be taught to do right, taught to not be a thief. And so, let me give you about four things really quickly. First of all, how to not be a thief or how to not raise a thief. Number one, grow in the Word. Grow in the Word. In verse 28, he says, let him that stole steal no more. Now, that is a command. And as I said Sunday, how many times does the Bible have to say something to make it true and make it Bible, make it right? Just one time. I mean, I think Brother Ernest was saying that somebody asked him a while back, he had quoted a verse, and they said, how many times does it say that? Like it matters. Like it matters how many times. One time is enough. Amen? And so if the Bible says it once, of course it deals with this topic several different times, but one time is enough. And the fact is, it is a Bible command. And the best thing we could do is just to receive the Word and obey the Word of God. And so, how to not be a thief? How not raise a thief? Just grow in the Word. You know, this is why family altar is so important. Because the TV is not going to teach the next generation not be thieves. Matter of fact, the TV in Hollywood is going to glorify this thing. Make it look like it takes skill and talent and makes it think, make you think that somebody that's really smart and gifted is able to be a good thief. I remember a movie came out in the 90s that was like a really, really popular movie at the time called Gone in 60 Seconds. And the whole movie was about stealing cars, about boosting cars. And it glorified that whole thing. The guys stealing the cars were the good guys and the cops were the bad guys. And it just glorified the whole thing. And you can probably find several movies that makes it out to be where the gangsters and the thieves and the wicked folk are the heroes when they're stealing from people and wrecking people's lives. And so that's the world's mentality, that you're not going to get the Word of God from the world. Amen. And so the best thing we can do is grow in the Word, receive the Word, be doers of the Word. In other words, just get right with God and do right. If you've been a thief, if you've stolen at any capacity, the best thing you could do is just do right. See, Judas was a thief. He never got right with God. He was so close to the Lord, and yet he was a thief and never got right with God. However, Zacchaeus was a thief. Whenever he got saved, he said, if I've stolen anything from any man, I'll restore unto him tenfold. It just seems to me that whenever the Lord does a work in somebody's life, they always want to get things right. Doesn't it seem that way to you? Amen. And so, don't just grow in knowledge, but grow through obedience. In fact, we don't just grow through knowledge. We don't just grow through having knowledge of the Scripture. We grow through obeying the Scriptures. And so, first of all, grow in the Lord. But second of all, and it's right here in the verse, grow in the Lord, but second of all, get to work. How are you not going to be a thief? Grow in the Word and then get to work. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands. You know, a lot of folks, especially in our world, in our society today, they'd rather have a hand out than a hand up. It's not so much that so many people are in a bad way and just need a little bit of help. They just want you to give them a handout. They just want you to pay their way. You know, and I'm all for helping people, and I'm all for, you know, being a blessing. You know, Jesus fed the poor and Jesus helped people, but the fact is so many people, they're just too lazy to get a job and give an honest day's labor and work for the things that they've got. They're just simply too lazy. And so don't be lazy, be busy. You know, the Bible always condemns laziness. You go read Proverbs, and over and over and over, it condemns laziness. Talks about the poverty that will come to slavery. And Proverbs talks about, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. And so get to work. Just be busy. If you don't want to be a thief, get you a job. Get you a job and be busy. One man said that if you'll work hard enough, you'll come home too tired to get into sin. I think abundance of idleness really has killed us as a society. Abundance of idleness. People got too much time on their hands to where they have nothing to fill that time, that space with, so they sit around and imagine sin to get into. They come up with things to get into. Matter of fact, that was one of the problems with Sodom and Gomorrah, was abundance of idleness. And so we saw the problems there. But at the end of the day, you know, nobody owes us anything. Nobody owes us anything. And the best thing we could do to not be a thief and not even be tempted with that thing is to just get busy. Grow in the Word. Get to work. But then the third thing in this verse would be giving of our wealth. Giving of our wealth. He said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, there is nothing in the world wrong with a man or any of us working for things that we might be blessed by our work. Matter of fact, private property is a biblical teaching. The Lord gave several laws in the Old Testament to protect private property in Israel. This whole idea of socialism and everything's shared and all that stuff, that's not a Bible principle. Matter of fact, if you go back and read the Old Testament, there is a law that if a man stole an ox and sold that ox or killed that ox or for whatever reason that ox couldn't be restored, he was to restore 10 for the one to the owner. 10 for that one that he stole. If a man was to steal a sheep, he was to restore 4 for the one that he stole. And so God made provisions for private property. In other words, He condemned stealing and He promoted, and God is for us working with the health that He's blessed us with that we might have and that we might have things, but He never wanted things to have us. See, we can get out of balance in that thing to where we only work for things for us, but He says right here, work that you may have in order to give. Now, I heard one preacher say that there's a fine line between faith and foolishness. Because you don't want to be foolish with the blessings that God's given you. But we don't want to be stingy either. Amen? We want to have things, we just don't want things to have us. And I don't think God is in bleeding people dry. I don't think God is keeping people broke, all those things. These preachers that are constantly just bleeding the flock all the time for more and more and more. I don't think God's in that. I don't believe the Lord is in that thing. But at the same time, I believe we all ought to pray and ask God and be willing to give what the Lord puts in our heart to give whenever the Lord puts something on our heart. Amen. Because, you know, I mean, we all know it takes money to operate and it takes all those things. And God uses us as those vessels to be a blessing and to give of the things that He blesses us with. And so, giving of our wealth will help us not be a thief. And this is how, because it helps us to keep in check and keep in mind why we have things. We don't really have it for us to heap up for ourselves, because at the end of the day, the things that we have really don't matter. They're all going to burn up one of these days. And so being willing and having the right heart to be able to give to the needs and of others and of the church, all those things, helps us to keep in mind why God gives us things anyways. Amen. That will help us not be a thief. And so the way to get in God's economy is to give. More blessed to give than to receive. Give and it shall be given unto you. Heaped up, shaken together, running over shall men give unto your bosoms. And so the blessing is always in giving rather than getting for God's people. Amen. And so then last of all, grow in the Word, get to work, giving of your wealth. But then last of all, and it's not directly here in this verse, but I believe it is a Bible principle, that would be governing our wants. Governing our wants. How to not be a thief, governing your wants. Now, in Exodus 20, where He's given the Ten Commandments, not directly the next commandment, He says, thou shalt not steal. Not the very next one, but the one after deals with covetousness. Thou shalt not covet. And covetousness generally is one thing that causes people to become thieves. They want what they don't have. The fact is, for us as God's people, there's nothing with us wanting things, nothing wrong with wanting or desiring things, but we need to govern those wants. Be careful that those wants don't overtake us. Now, you ever see somebody who makes out like they live a certain status when the truth is they really don't live it? Social media has really made that like the thing today. Everybody puts everything right in its perfect place and fix everything so they can take that selfie and make their life look perfect, you know. Let me just help you. Internet life is not real life. Hardly anybody is living the status of life on that you see online, that hardly anybody's living that actually in real life. It's all a front, it's all pretend, it's all just make-believe, most of it, because the truth is they want everybody to think that their life is perfect. And a lot of folks, they make out like they live a certain status that they really don't live. The truth is, as I said a minute ago, at the end of the day, nothing we have really matters that much anyways. You know, it doesn't matter if we live in the biggest and best subdivision that everybody wants to live in town, or if we live in a shack somewhere. It doesn't matter if we drive a Mercedes or we drive a car that's, you know, just an old beater. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. All of those things are going to burn up. And the last thing we'd ever want would be for things to have us anyways. You know, the best thing that we could do in terms of governing our wants is whenever we go home tonight, we look at what we have and think of all the people that have nothing. Look at the house that God has blessed all of us with that we'll all go home and sleep in. Then the warm houses and the warm beds we'll sleep in, the clothes that we'll wear, and all those things. And then think of all the people around the world that doesn't have any of those things. Think of the car that we drive, all the things the Lord's blessed us with. Look at what we have. Think about those that don't have any of those things. But then also look at what we have and thank God for how much He's blessed us. Because at the end of the day, God has sure been good to us. Amen. And I tell you, it'd be a terrible thing for anybody, any of us, for sure, to be considered a thief in any way. In any way. I thought about that thief on the cross. Matter of fact, last night at the jail, one of those guys got to talking about those thieves on the cross. And I thought about those thieves and how had lived their lives dishonestly. And yet that one thief, whenever he called on the Lord, now he'd not lived an honest, he'd lived a dishonest life, the life of a thief, and it didn't amount to anything, got him nowhere. And he's paying the price for it at the end of his life. And yet when he called on the Lord, he died, and whenever he woke up in glory, he was a mighty, mighty rich man, wasn't he? And so, praise the Lord that Christ can take any thief and make them so rich. Amen. And so may God help us. May God help all of us, especially to not be thieves, walk different from the rest of the world in that thing. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. I want to thank you for helping us with your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for letting us meet together and be together. And Father, I pray that you will take your word, help us to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against you. I pray, Lord, that you would bless us as we go our separate ways tonight. Lord, as we go out and finish out the rest of the week, Lord, that you would just go with us and bless us. Pray that you would prepare our hearts for what you want to do this coming Lord's Day. And, Lord, you'd help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, bless us as we, in our ministries, Lord, the rest of the week, Lord, our street ministry, and, Lord, as we're out among the world, I pray that you just help us to be the light that you want us to be, the witnesses you want us to be. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.